If we let our imaginations go, could you possibly imagine what a life this would be if it wouldn't get any better than this? Think about it. Can you imagine if this is as good as it gets? Well, you know, there are thousands of people who believe this. And over the years, they have set as such. A college professor, not that long ago, a young man submitted a paper to his professor at Yale. It was a class assignment. The professor wrote, quote, "The concept is interesting and well-formed, but in order to get a grade better than a C," that was the grade the young man got, a C. He said, he wrote, "In order to get a grade better than a C, the idea needs to be feasible." Well, a bit disappointed, the young man took his paper, his concept, and he made it work. Today we call it FedEx. He founded the Federal Express Corporation. I don't know if you remember the lesson that we had 2 weeks ago about listening to what people say. Gary Cooper, the actor, once wrote that he was so glad that it was going to be Clark Gable and not he who was going to fall flat on his face. This was his response for not taking the leading role to Gone with the Wind. How little do we know. The Decca Recording Company, and I don't know if it's still in existence, but the Decca Recording Company once wrote a rejection letter to a group who wanted to be recorded. It said, "We do not like the sound. And besides, guitar music is on its way out." It was sent to the Beatles. And of course, we all know the story about the head of the United States Patent Office. In 1899, he said that everything that could possibly be invented had already been invented. It is written in Proverbs, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And so I say to you this morning that life is far more than what is evident at the moment. There is no such thing as a terminal disease, and there is no such thing as an incurable condition. Only to those who believe it. A man once wrote that a little shrub, a sprig in the ground, is already dreaming of the blossoms and the fruit it has never seen. Not that long ago, we were reminded that within every acorn is the fullness of a tree. When we quiet our minds, or as the Bible says, when we enter our closets and shut the door, in the stillness of those moments, we can get glimpses of what is to be. We are reminded in Scripture, "I will put my spirit in you, and ye shall live." Paraphrased in Scripture, "Acquaint now thyself with this spirit, feel it, abide in it, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come to thee." That good that is to come That's our inheritance. That is our blossom and our fruit and the tree that is to be. Life has already placed within each one of us great laws. Laws that we are to maintain with love and with care. For these laws have the power to bring into our environment situations and conditions that are worthy to a child of God's. And so it is that I'm going to ask you this morning to become as receptive as you possibly can, given the consciousness of the moment, as if you were in meditation, as if you were in a state of total listening and receptivity, and receive what is going to be shared with you this morning as if you were hearing it for the first time. All right. Now, it is very possible for each one of us here this morning to turn our health and our homes and our affairs totally around. For the laws of life are already blessing each one of us. Our only challenge is that we feel this blessing. All we need to do is to experience it. For that is what matters. The experience. The realization. Scripture reminds us that heaven is right where we are. We all know what Jesus said. Behold, the kingdom is within you. But as we were just reminded, it is not in the physical body. Since it is within the individual but not in the body, it must be an activity in consciousness. And it is. It is what we call an awareness, a knowingness. In so many words, Jesus said that it would never be found out here in the world, not on high mountains or in holy temples, but within us. So perhaps it's time that we started to look at life in a totally new way. Let me give you just one example. An acorn is never just an acorn. It is a tree in a state of becoming. And that sprig in the ground, that shrub, is never just a shrub, but a shrub in transition. None of us are ever stable and still. And not unlike the acorn and the shrub, you and I are not what we appear to be. We too are also in states of transition, moving into something higher and finer than what is evident at the moment, as was Jesus. He wasn't born Christed. He grew into that state. It is written that the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. This does not imply that moments before that experience, the Spirit is not already there and available and responsive. The Spirit of God is always there. Always. As if to say, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just be still. And no. Please be mindful that Moses did not invent God, but he did give it a name, as did the Buddha and Muhammad. There is no such thing as a Christian God or a Buddhist God or a Muslim God. Moses and the Buddha and Muhammad and even Jesus, at different points in time, they all experience what we're talking about this morning, the Spirit of God within themselves. And they each gave a name. The early people referred to it as the Lord God in the midst of them. Jesus referred to it as the Father within. Muhammad called it Allah. Moses Moses referred to it as the I am. But they all mean the same thing. The personal realization of this holy and sacred presence in which we all live and move and have our being. And yet, the contact with this that is holy and sacred is always within each one of us individually. This realization does not come as it's been depicted in books and in movies. It does not come through the thunder and lightning of common day storms. It does not come through the shaking of earthquakes, nor with a symphony playing in the background, but in stillness and in quietness. Hence the benefit of meditation, the benefit of becoming still, the difference between the man whose breath is in his nostrils and the man who is awakening in truth is that one seeks God in mountains and in temples and in books and in sounds and in colors and even in personalities. These individuals keep looking outside of themselves for the so-called burning bush without realizing that that bush is not out here with the world, but in that mind that has begun looking for God. That burning bush is our Christ. It is our Father which is in heaven. It is the conscious awareness that right where we are is the whole and complete Spirit of God and the wisdom of God and the power of God, literally going before us, making every crooked place straight, upholding us and blessing us and keeping us, as if to say, be not afraid. I am with you. And all is well. The revealing of this indwelling Spirit of God in us, this entire process appears to be a threefold process. First, it is always in that invisible realm of life that we call heaven, the Father's house. That Father's house, as is heaven, is as much in us as we are in it. Even now it is flowing through us, revealing itself in the world, not as it is in heaven, but as each one of us is in consciousness. Which is why we say in Divine Science, God is all, both invisible and visible. Which is why Divine Science expresses, as did the man Jesus, that we be still, that we quiet the mind. And so it is that in stillness and in the quietness of that moment, in the absence of thoughts, we begin to get glimpses of the firstborn of God. Glimpses for little split seconds. And it is during these moments that whatever God is, at that instant I am and you are, no longer as a theory or a philosophy or even as a belief or a desire, but as an activity in consciousness. Literally a living reality. And for the most part, that particular experience does not last in most of us. Because almost immediately, in the beginning, the mind settles back into its habitual pattern of taking thoughts. Thought for what we shall eat or drink or dress. In the first step of this process, truth is as perfect as the Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, the second step in this process of revelation, the second step in the revelation of this truth in individual consciousness, and it is here that the laws of mind are set in motion. Our responsibility, truly, is that we become, each one of us, instruments through which the Spirit of God can reveal itself. That it may be on earth as it is in heaven. Through the laws of mind, as within, so without. And that's the third step. Heaven on earth. The activity of consciousness may manifest, but only in those who are responsive and receptive to truth. Keep one thing in mind. That no man can heal or bless or restore or deliver. But the activity of truth in consciousness, or the activity in consciousness of truth, doesn't matter how we say it, nothing is impossible to this activity. But if not in consciousness, then not in manifestation. This activity, or this stirring, or this awakening, is the word that was with God and was God, as we are told in the book of John. This is the word that heals the sick and feeds the hungry and multiplies the loaves and fish. This is the word made flesh, saying, I am come that ye might be fulfilled. Something else that we should keep in mind. Every time that the word is spoken, and of course, as you already know, it's not something that comes out of the mouth, but an activity in consciousness, which is to say, every time truth is revealed in consciousness, at that very moment, the recipient has an opportunity to change his life for the better, instantly. Which is why there is no reason why it can't happen to any of us. Woman who was taken in adultery and was about to be stoned to death. Talk about having a terminal condition. There she was, surrounded on all sides by men with rocks on their stone, on their hands, ready to stone her. And all of a sudden she found herself in the presence of an individual whose consciousness was imbued in truth. And she was spared. Out of an impossible situation, she was set free. But with a caveat. She was told, now go and sin no more. In other words, change the pattern of your thought so that this condition or something worse does not come back. No matter how desperate life may appear at the moment, change it. As Paul said, by the renewing of your mind. Now be mindful that a healing does not take place just so that you can continue doing whatever it is that you were doing that brought that condition about in the first place. As Jesus says, pick up from where you left off, and you can rest assured that a similar or worse thing may come unto thee. As far as we can tell, Jesus wanted more than anything else that his followers experience what he had experienced. He tried to remind them over and over again that the Spirit of God was already embedded within the very fabric of their being. That nothing they could do could remove this from within them. They could ignore it. But they couldn't get rid of it. Not only at the moment of realization, but as far back as Abraham was, this Spirit has been with us. But in spite of his efforts, and in spite of his desire to motivate his followers, his students, just a couple of them managed to grasp the significance of his teachings. Only a few of them actually put in the practice that he was trying to teach them. At one point, we are told of his exasperation. Perhaps it was just simple frustration. But at some point in time, he said in so many words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would wish to gather your children, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. But you would not. You would not listen, much less practice. This morning, I am quite sure of this. This morning, we could wish so much for one another, for family, for friends. We could wish so much for loved ones, for neighbors, and even for strangers. Unfortunately, we cannot think for another. We cannot love for another. We cannot forgive for another. Because each one of us have our own thoughts and our own dreams and our own desires. So as long as an individual moves throughout life believing that his happiness is dependent on someone else, or that supply is dependent on his education and good luck, as long as someone believes that health is dependent on what he eats and drinks and breathes and how often he exercises, this individual has yet to learn a very most basic lesson in life. He has yet to understand the significance of that statement, I am the health of my people. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. And besides me, there is none else. We have often said that you and I are in God much in the same way that a wave is in the ocean. Without an ocean, there is no wave. Without an acorn, there is no tree. For the law is as within, so without. This morning, there is no separation between you and God. For you and God are one and the same. I call this the true definition of integrity. We tend to place integrity in the realm of morals. But integrity is defined as a state of completeness, oneness, a state of indivisibility. And so it is that so very few of us have ever been taught that God is closer than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. Not only is God a living reality in the midst of us, but an actual demonstrable principle. As if to say, prove me now. This that is whole and complete is universal. No one and no thing can ever claim God for itself. No race, no denomination, no organization of whatever kind. The demonstrable God, the proven God, the living God, the realized God, is always and forever. And it is always a totally individual matter. A young man once discovered this truth, and he cried out, where could I possibly go from this presence? If I find myself in a state of fulfillment, in a state of love and joy and happiness and peace of mind, it is there. And if I happen to make my bed in hell, suffering, in misery, filled with fear, and experiencing lack and limitation of every kind, it is there. If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, behold, it is there. Cannot the acorn say the same thing about the tree? free is always presence. Simply waiting to reveal itself. And the same is true for the shrub or the sprig and its blossoms and its fruit. As is the Christ in you. Waiting to be revealed. I don't know how many dozens of times you've heard this story about the thief hanging on the cross. In the midst of his sins, he turned to something higher and finer than what was ever evident in his life. And he felt the voice say, "This day." Not after so many years in hell or in purgatory. Not after lifetimes of working out karma. But right now, this day. In the midst of your sins and in the midst of your suffering, you shall be in paradise. Can you begin to feel the significance of this lesson? There is a story about a painting of the Christ Jesus knocking on the door. An individual was there looking at this painting. When he noticed that something was missing, there was no door handle on the door. The artist happened to be standing nearby and he turned to him and he asked, "What happened to the door handle? You forgot to put a door handle on the door." The artist replied that there was no need for a door handle. Because, he said, the door can only be opened from the inside. It is written, "I stand at the door and knock." Quote, "If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come unto him." The promise is given unto us and unto our children. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The answer to every problem, and it really doesn't matter what it is that you're going through with them, no matter how insurmountable it may appear to be, and especially it doesn't matter what anybody says to you, nothing is impossible in the degree that we attain a measure of that mind that was also in the Christ Jesus. I say to you that it doesn't matter how highly educated we may be, and no matter how successful we may have been and are, as businessmen, as artists, as scholars, as parents, no matter how faithful we have been in attending the church of our choice, or how involved in its activities, it is of no avail until we have attained a conscious realization of the indwelling Christ. And it is here at this very moment of realization that whatever the need, it is met. But until this blessing takes place, and the blessing is not a thing out here, it's what's happening in here. Until this blessing takes place, it will appear that we're nothing more than victims of circumstances and subject to every form of limitation that comes down the pipe. But I will remind you again that it is written, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, from that man whose breath is in his nostrils, and the Christ shall give thee light." Meaning understanding, blessings, and healings. saying, I am come, that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. For I am the resurrection and the life of your health, the resurrection and the life of your affairs. And so it is that my peace I give unto you. Just be still and know that I am with you always. Shall we make this lesson practical? Will you now join me for a few moments of quietness, of stillness? So let us just be still for a few moments. And whatever it is that you're going through, forget about it. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Just be still. And know that the blessings are coming wave after wave after wave. But we do need to feel them. We do need to experience them. So let us be still. Father, I do thank you for having heard me and for the blessings that have come from above. For this, I do give you thanks. Amen. And so it is that the Father within blesses you and keeps you. And so it is that the Lord God in the midst of you shines its love and his graces unto you. It is he who lifts your consciousness and gives you peace. Amen.